Good morning. If you have a Bible there, please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read from verses 22 to 32. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. My topic today is our relationship with the church. We see here in these verses, different relationships, don't we? We see a relationship between Christ and the church. All the way through, it speaks about the relationship of the husband and wife. And then in one of the verses, it speaks about the relationship between you and yourself. So we can all have a relation here as to what Paul is trying to say here to these Ephesians about how they should not only govern the husband and wife relationship, or even look after yourself, but how they should behave in the church. What is their relationship with the church? What should it be like? And today I'd just like to look at a few things regarding this in this passage. For so many years, I saw the husband and wife relationship as being paramount in this passage as the main teaching, but I'm beginning to see a lot more. I'm seeing really how, as Christians, we should be relating to the church, and what does Christ do for the church, and how does that speak to me in my relationship with the church? We all have Christian lives that we live, but what is our church life like? Where does the church sit in relation to the believer, in relation to you this morning? Does it take importance like it does did in the life of Christ, as Paul writes these words down about Christ's thoughts about the church? In verse 23, here's a little outline. Verse 23, we see that Christ is head of the church. We're going to look at the position. He is the Savior of the body. We're going to look in verse 24, the church is subject to Christ. And that's going to speak about our posture. What is our posture in the church as believers? In verse 25, Christ also loved the church. We're going to look at our passion. What should our passion be towards the church? And verse 29, we're going to look at our preservation. As time goes on, things can decay and wither away. We're going to look at how the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church, and how he relates it to you and I looking after ourselves. And first of all, though, I'd like us to consider how we become a member of the church. It's not just automatic. We don't become members of the church by signing a registry or by a familial link of some sort, a genealogy of some sort. In verse 30 and 31, it says, for we are members, the believers are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. And then it goes into verse 31, speaking about how a relationship starts between a man and a woman, and also the eventual culmination of that relationship in terms of marriage. And we see here the process here of a relationship that develops. A beginning of a relationship starts with perhaps an attraction of one to the other. In this case, a man to a woman, let's say. And the attraction becomes so great that there's a leaving behind a relationship, isn't there? The man leaves the father and mother. He leaves the relationship behind, as precious as that is, and he pursues another relationship. He joins himself, that means to be glued to, another. And so it is with our relationship and the beginning of a relationship with Christ. We are introduced to Christ. We read things about him. We read things about us in terms of how God sees us. And eventually the commitment to him means that we leave something behind. Maybe it's a relationship in the way of life that we've been living. Maybe it's a relationship of another sort that we have to leave behind in order to pursue one with Christ. And then we join him, we entrust ourselves to him, and a new relationship is born. Verse 30 says that then at that point in time, you are now members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You become a member of the church. Let's look at the first point I'd like to make is the position. If I am part of the church then as a believer in Christ, what is my position in the church? Do I have a position in the church? Well, in verse 23, we see that Christ is the head of the church. And we've already read that we are members of his body. We are parts of his body, part of the church, but he is the head. Christ is the planner and the coordinator. He is the decision maker of the church. And we fall under him, under his authority. He will guide the body. He will cause it to have a purposeful action. Though he is the controlling part, the parts are vital as well. You have been made a part of the body. And you've been maybe directed to function in a certain way. You carry out your function in the church, you know, that no one else can do. He designs the church in 1 Corinthians 12:18. He says, but now God has set the members meaning the parts of the body, in place, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. So he's composing the church with different parts. He's given us a role, and our position is to occupy one of those positions, one of those parts of the body in the church. We become believers. We have a life in Christ. We have an individual life that we live, yes, but there's a life to be lived in a corporate way, in a group setting, and that is called the church because we're made part of it. We come under the headship of Christ. Never disqualify yourself just because you see another part as being maybe more important than you and you have a lesser role. Therefore, what am I going to do? In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15 to 17, it says this: if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? Each part has a role to play. And just because if you're maybe a foot, you want to be the hand, well, try not to do that, because you may think that you're a lesser role, and that's not true. Each one has a part to play in the body of Christ. So, and also with looking at other parts of the body, we shouldn't have any superior parts in the body. Each one should look at each other equally in the church. There's no superior roles. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21 says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the feet, I have no need of you. There is no superior roles in the church. And we might be given something more flashy, but we should never think that we're superior to anybody else. The body should function as a whole, each part playing its role and under the headship of Christ, under the authority of Christ. I'd like to encourage you then that to play your part in the body of Christ. You know that he's also mentioned in Ephesians 5 as a savior of the body. You have trouble playing your part. He is the savior of the body. He will help you redeem that role that you are supposed to play in the church. Come under the blessings of Christ as you come into the church and play your part. Come under the direction of Christ. That's the position. Let's look at posture. What is my posture or attitude towards the church? Or in the church, rather. In verse 24, it says, Christ the church is subject to Christ. That means it has a yieldingness. It has a submissive spirit to Christ. Submission means it's yielding to the will or authority of another person. What attitude of mind do I have as I function in the life of the church? As I come into the body of the church and I gather together in Christ's name, do I have a ready submission in my heart? Do I come with a submissive spirit? That is really the spirit of grace that Christ has in his heart, isn't it? He lived his life in submission to the Father's will. And he had that attitude of submission, and we are to have that attitude of submission as well. What would this look like? Well, it's maybe being less self-centered. It's consideration of others as better than myself. It's a willingness to change. You know, that I don't have it all figured out. I don't have the market cornered on a specific maybe passage of scripture. I want to just, you know, not that we go for everything, but you know, could it be that there could be some other way of interpreting a certain section of the Bible? It's also maybe takes on this flesh here, forbear one another in love. You know, my attitude of submissiveness and yieldedness might mean that I have to just let go things. Forbear one another in love. What it may not look like is having a defensive spirit or a critical spirit in the church. What is my attitude of mind as I function in the life of the church? May it be one of submission to Christ. The church is subject to Christ. What is our posture in the church? Let's look at the third point here right now is the passion. In verse 25, it says, "Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Where does our love meter register in regards to the church? If you were to draw a line and put on one end of it a zero, and that represented no interest, and then you had a 10 on the opposite side, and that indicated a significant interest, where would you put yourself? What number would you give yourself out of 10? Christ had significant interest in the church. He loved the church, it says. He welcomed it. That word means welcoming it, to be fond of, to love dearly, to be contented with it. Do any of these words come to mind when I describe my love for the church? In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, the same word love is used here to describe how God would like us to love him. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the character of the love that we should have as well for the church. There was churches in Macedonia in 2 Corinthians verse 8 and 5 that gave themselves completely to the Lord. And what a marvelous thing they did for the other people of God. It says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we made known to you the grace of God on the churches bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us, by the will of God." What a sacrifice. They were freely willing. They gave themselves to the Lord and then gave themselves to the members of the church in fulfilling God's will. And mighty joy filled the hearts of the saints at that point in time. Exodus 36, verse 5, we read of another instance of how the people of God responded to the service of God. Exodus 36, verse 5 says, "And they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." Another example of how people were willing to give themselves to emulate how Christ loved the church. and give themselves, give up their resources to the church to help out the body of the church. Back to Ephesians in our verse, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Christ is loving the church, giving himself for her, that he might make her the best it can be. And he does this by sanctifying. He sets the church apart for a distinguished purpose and a project that he has, that he might make it a glorious church. He might present it back to himself. He does this also by cleansing the church, purifying the church. He takes the water of the word of God. When we come together as a church, Christ is doing that to us. And we can also emulate that as well. As we take the word of God, we can sanctify each other. We can cleanse each other and purify ourselves so that, you know, we might be able to be part of the process of that project that Christ is doing presently for the church. The goal is to make the church the best it can be. What are we doing as we give ourselves to the church? What are we doing to make the church the best it can be? As the Lord works with the church, he gives the church global direction. He gives the church direction as far as use of resources. He gives challenges to perfect holiness. He might call to you to service in some way, and he might purify the corporate worship and praise of the people. We do the same when we share the word of God with each other. Are we helping to bring the church to the best it can be? Where does the church rate on our love meter? Would you give it where would you put it? And you need to answer that for yourself. But Christ loved the church. You know, Christ loved his life, his individual life with the Father. I can't imagine how close that fellowship was between him and the Father, the communication that they had. Yet he had a life, he had an involvement and an interest in the church as well. And so with us, I mean, we can't be islands unto ourselves if we're believers in Christ. Yes, we can have a rich life, but it's meant to be lived within the context of the church. And you know, I encourage you to function in your position and love the church as Christ loved the church. That was his passion. Now, I want to speak about the preservation of the church. Sometimes as we go on in life, things can get pretty dull. Things can get, can wear away, and we can lose interest in things. And sometimes that can be the way we behave in the church. It says here, though, in verse 29, that the Lord nourishes the church. It says, just as the Lord does the church, he nourishes it and cherishes it. It'll go up to verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever yet hated his own flesh. So we see here that the Lord Jesus nourishes the church. He cherishes the church just as we would look after our own bodies so that we might continue to function. A cherish means to keep warm, to keep warm. The Lord invests in us. He exercises us, and he nourishes us, and he causes things to keep warm, to keep relevant. And as we go along in life, we need to invest in things like our relationships, right? It says here the one of the thoughts here is to invest in your relationship with husband and wife. If we don't spend time with each other, then we will the relationship will suffer. And the Lord says, you know what? I mean, even if you let your body go, your body will eventually suffer. I mean, that's why we have gym memberships. That's why we go walking. That's why we do exercise. to keep our bodies looking and functioning properly. And the Lord does the same here to the church. He keeps the body running properly. And this is what we need to do as well. We need to, just like we would with our relationships, we need to invest time in the church. If we invest time in the church, we will realize that there's nourishment there. We will realize that we're keeping that interest level warm, and it's something that's not fading away. It's preserving the healthy interest in the church. We need to invest our resources. Maybe it's like we go and buy a gym membership to love ourselves, to basically, and there's nothing wrong with that. I work in a profession where there's, I'm prescribing exercise all the time, and there's great significance to that. God made the body to respond to exercise, and he's using this as a point here. You would look after your own body. Well, why wouldn't you look after your own interest to the church? You know, you want to nourish that. You want to cherish it. So invest time and invest your resources in it. Invest yourself. Respect your body. Give it what it needs. And that's the same admonition there with ourselves in respect to the church. We need to basically spend time with the church. Allow us to see our role in the church and our functionality in the church, and treat it with respect. You know that there was an instance in the Bible where the people were coming together. Without respecting why they were coming together. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse." So there were some gathering together without respecting why they were gathering together. And it says, "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it." And then it says, therefore, in verse 20, "When you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk." So they're not setting aside the purpose of meeting as a church. Let's look at verse 22. "What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." So there was a lack of respect for why they were meeting, and they were treating that the purpose without significance, and they got reprimanded by God himself in this letter to the Corinthians. And so there's respect given to the church, and there's respect given to the church, respect given to our bodies. We will benefit from that, and the Lord will preserve the church in our lives, and he will keep it warm for us. So I spoke today about the process of becoming involved, becoming part of the church rather. I looked at the position that we will have in the church, and Christ is the Savior of the body. He will help you redeem that position, help you take possession of that position, and help you to fulfill your part and do it no matter what. And we talked about the posture. What is my posture as I come into church? When I come into meeting as a church, is the posture one of a submissive will, a submissive spirit, and really adopting the spirit of Christ as I come into church? Then it's my passion. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, in relationships, I often hear about the give and take component of a relationship, and that's maybe true to some extent. However, I think when both parties just give and give and give and really give without expecting anything in return, after all, that's the nature of giving. You don't, to be a true giver, you give without expecting anything in return. The Lord says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And, you know, when we give without expecting anything in return, we really adopt that same nature of Christ as he gave. He gave his life without expecting anything in return. And yet when you have two parties giving, that other party is going to get something, right? Because the other person's giving. And Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. We give ourselves to Christ and the function of the church, and we are going to get back as well. There's no question we will be blessed. So there's passion. That was the third point that I made. The last point was the preservation. The Lord nourishes and cherishes the church, and we are able to avoid us becoming disinterested in the church. If we allow the Lord to really keep the church warm in our lives, he nourishes and cherishes the church. Let him have that ministry in your life as he keeps the church warm in your life. And that's what he does for us. And so I pray that you'd find this encouraging. I would pray that you would find your spot in the church and come under the blessing of God and the blessing to others that you can be. Let's just close in prayer. God and Father, we just pray at this time, Lord, to ask us to help us in adopting the same attitude that Christ had toward the church. Oh man, he put the church on a pedestal, and he's going to present it to himself someday without spot or wrinkle. And I don't know how that's going to go, but the Lord is going to make that happen. And we just pray that we would be able to emulate the same behavior that Christ has towards the church. We pray that we would have the same relationship that Christ has towards the church, and that we would learn some things in our lives to be able to emulate just like he does. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.